The Batpod presents Gotham Currents, a podcast about current releases of Batman comics.
Welcome to episode number 3. My name is Bill Beer, and joining me tonight, John Coos.
Hey, Bill. Glad to be back. Looking forward to talking about this issue.
Yes, it should be pretty interesting, that's for sure. Really interesting, because there are some things in here sort of, I don't know if you want to say universe shattering, but it changes some things that goes way back.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll get into it.
So, if you want to join the conversation with us, we have an email. It's gothamcurrents@gmail.com. We do have a Facebook page of the Batpod, and we are on Twitter, Batpod. And of course, we're going to be talking about Batman 146. It's going to be Dark Prisons Part 2. So let's take a break here, and when we come back, it's going to be Batman 146.
The Batpod is a spoiler podcast. Please read the comics we're reviewing so you can enjoy the show.
Superman Radio Revisited. Hosted by Matthew T. Cody. This is going to be a new podcast which will be exploring the Superman radio show of the 1940s. It will begin by playing an episode.
Unfiltered. Unedited. Uncensored. Uncut.
Followed by my commentary. We're going to talk about the era a little bit and any interesting things that crop up in the episodes. I think it'll be a lot of fun, and I'm hoping to make it an interactive show. So come along. It's going to be a great time.
Okay, our issue tonight is Batman 146. Your writer is Chip Zdarsky. Art, Jorge Jimenez. Colors, Tomu Mori. Letter, Clayton Cowles. Editors, Ben Abernathy and Katie Kubert. And we get a cover here. On the cover here, we have a dead Joker with a smile, with a dead punchline, and what looks to be a dead Riddler. What did you think of this cover?
Didn't strike me as much as last issue's cover, to be honest with you, but did make me wonder, well, a lot must happen in this issue because this is pretty dramatic. But it's not bad. It's not bad. You got Batman sort of just, you could just sort of see the bottom half of him. There's blood everywhere. So that's consistent with, so it's happening in the storyline, which thus far, which is that the failsafe Zur Batman is not taking any prisoners on his mission to clean up Gotham. I guess on the positive side, it does make you want to turn the page and see, well, this must be an issue filled with action and some serious events.
I mean, you just see the touch of a cape. You don't see a body or anything. You like, it almost looked like Batman's body at the very top. It's like the top, I don't know, 1/6 of the book has blood all over his cape, and it looks like it's surrounding his body, and then you have the dead bodies underneath. I mean, it's an okay cover. There wasn't anything that says, ooh, I got to find out what happens, because that definitely doesn't happen in the book.
It doesn't happen in the book, and then you also have, I think it's kind of funny, just in the bottom right-hand corner, it says 13 plus. It's like, well, what's 17 plus if you have a cover like this?
Right. So in this issue, Daniel Capito explains to Bruce how the Joker was motivated through past events to bring out Zur for good. As Capito tells Bruce, he's helping his better self make the world better as he gives his cow back. Elsewhere, Zur takes out Killer Croc with Damian. Stephanie Brown tries to convince Damian to stop teaming up with Zur. Damian claims that the Bat family held Batman back. Nightwing and Oracle tell the Justice League about this new Batman and how he has taken over the city. Back at Blackgate, Bruce, back in his cell with the Joker, realizes that he also has Zur's memories. Bruce remembers how Xur made the many fail safeguards, and Bruce breaks out of his cell. Punchline and Joker reunite while Bruce takes out the robot guards. In Gotham, Xur and Robin break into Harley Quinn's apartment and confronts her. Punchline flips a switch, letting the cells to the criminals. Xur has locked up, open, and now Batman finds himself in a riot between criminals and robot guards, but is able to escape. Robin visits Xur and Oz's Batman bunker to find an Amazo robot, which Xur is using to build an army of Batbots. Vandal Savage escapes Blackgate in the riot. Xur meets with Superman, and Xur pleads his case, trying to convince Superman that Xur is indeed the Batman he knows. And the issue ends as Bruce Wayne leaves Gotham City. So, there's a lot to take into this book. This was a book I read, I had to think about for a bit, and then I had to read again. Because as soon as you open the first page of this book, I'll just throw it out there. They're saying that The Killing Joke and Death of the Family, where Barbara Gordon gets shot and Jason Todd gets killed, the motivations of the Joker was to bring out Xur and Oz for good. That was why these events happened.
Yep.
How do you feel about that? Just saying that right up front here. How do you feel about that?
It doesn't sit well with me, to be honest, Bill. I mean, it messed with my mind a lot because, you know, we got all these years, you know, I bought Killing Joke real time and Death of the Family and Death in the Family. And it's like, it's basically trying to tell my brain that for the last 35-ish years, that all that I knew about the premise of those stories was wrong. Right. And so it's basically, like you said in the intro, it's basically, I don't know, sort of like a retcon of sorts of a massive magnitude, right? That Joker isn't about just pure mayhem. He isn't just a pure, you know, sociopath, a psychopath. He's actually on a focused mission of bringing out this compartmentalized personality of the Batman with every action he's ever taken, almost including, you know, torturing Alfred. And so it's basically saying everything he's ever done is for that purpose, which is like, that changes everything kind of, right?
Yeah. And you get a little backstory here. You know, you mentioned there torturing Alfred, that happened in Death of the Family. Cause you have the Joker, you know, with his face kind of tied on, and while he tortured, you know, Alfred with his toxin, he got some information about, you know, failsafe, and that there was a failsafe.
Right. It kind of just leaps forward that he's in the Batcave. He finds it, you know, I guess he stumbles upon it.
Right, he finds it and he's like, well, hello, beautiful. It's like from the Dark Knight movie. I didn't mind that page as much. The first page, basically, if the first page wouldn't have happened, if you wouldn't have said, okay, Death in the Family, and they're not saying it, they're showing it, they're showing the images from it.
Sure.
If they wouldn't have showed me those two images, I wouldn't have thought much about it. That wouldn't have bothered me as much. It's bothering me to say, hey, we've taken these two events that everybody knows, and some of the favorite stories, at least Killing Joke is one of the best Batman stories, and we're changing the way you think, not only us as readers think of the Joker, but the Joker's motivations, that these are the Joker's motivations. And that's what bothers me about this.
Right. Yeah, me too.
That being said, I enjoy the story overall. That particular thing bothers me, but I'm going to throw another wrinkle in there. And that is, and I showed you just because I went back and read Chip's first issue. And in the first couple pages, Batman has a dream about the three Jokers. And you see the three Jokers. And in Joker Year One, at points you saw like three Jokers and Capito went in his mind is taking the fear from the Joker. To me, the three Joker concept is that the Joker has these three personalities, one particular personality. I don't know if one or all his personalities doesn't have any fear, but one of these personalities only cares about this particular aspect of Batman, is getting his backup personality, Zur-En-Ha, out. I think it's one of the three. So that being said, maybe it doesn't, I still have a problem with, you know, saying that his motivations to those particular, you know, stories, it's that still bothers me. It might bother me less that this is a fraction. This is a very complex story. This isn't just, okay, this happened, then this happened, this happened. They're really going into some things here with a Joker.
Absolutely, yeah. So like the story itself, and I hope everybody reads it, is it's got a good flow. You know, the modern day stuff, the stuff that of Damian teaming up with Failsafe and the Bat Family banter about whether Failsafe is Bruce Wayne or not, and the Superman scenes. I mean, it all is a really nice. It's well drawn. There's great dialogue. It's kind of got a great. It's got a great structure and flow. And then layered on top of that is this major retcon of sorts that's laid on top. So that's why you're saying it's complex. Because it's all happening kind of simultaneously. You're getting flashbacks, as we referenced in the last episode, about this arc where you have the Daniel Capitio character in that aquariums type cell. They flash back to that again with Joker. And so it goes back and forth in time. And while at the same time, it has some really good flow in what happens today. So, I mean, I had to read it three times, basically. I read it, you know, when it first came out on Ultra, I read it last night, and I looked at it again this morning, and it's like, I could probably read it again and find new stuff, which is always fun in a book, because, you know, back when we were kids, we had a couple comic books, we read them over and over and over again, pretty simple stuff, but this one is like, oh, there's another layer here, so I give props to Chip for that, for sure.
And we really get the meaning behind, you know, Failsafe come out, how he came out. He came out because the Penguin faked his death. Well, this is was the Joker's idea all along. All these right. different things yeah. were orchestrated by the Joker.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And also, again, props to Chip. I mean, we're talking, his run started in, what, 125?
Yes.
And we're on 146. I mean, he lays the groundwork for this basically 2 years ago. From an issue standpoint, which I really respect when artists and writers have this vision for their arc, right? And so Johns does that kind of stuff. People who have long runs do that kind of stuff. And so he's had this plan, it seems, for a while, Chip Zdarsky, right? So that's cool. One thing I wanted to point out in terms of the Alfred flashback where he's being tortured and he learns about the Failsafe robot. I don't know if you noticed that while he's got Alfred tied down in, I guess it looks like a van or something, he's got the Death of the Family Joker skin mask on, right? Mm-hmm. And then he goes to the Batcave, also a flashback, finds Failsafe, but he's not wearing that face. So is it a long time?
That must be after, you know, at the end of Scott Snyder's run where
Endgame?
Batman and the Joker. Yeah, after Endgame. And they kind of lost their memories and they fell into this. They both were like killing each other and they fell in this pool of whatever that healed them. So it healed the Joker's, you know, face and everything. This has to be after that.
It has to be. I mean, he got his face back on and everything else. If you get into the whole three Jokers thing, you know, based on how he's drawn, Is it like it could be confusing? Is this a different person, or is it a different personality that was healed? But I think, you know.
Or is this the controlling personality?
Yeah.
Because it looks like three different Jokers, you know, between the three of them.
Mm-hmm. The super short hair.
Yeah. The other question I have is, this Capito's been in this prison for how long? Because we get a scene here where it was only before Joker Year One that Batman cracks his back. And then Joker says this phrase. And then this phrase, it was implanted, this word or phrase was implanted in Batman's mind. Joker thought to help save the Joker, but it was to find Capito to make sure he was safe. So has he been in this prison? Like, they're talking before New 52, and now we're talking just a few issues ago. And I don't know, you know, time in DC Universe is funny how it works. It's like 10 years go by and it's been like 4 months or something.
Exactly. So, yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know how that works, but he's been in here a while and he looks like he's been tortured, you know, with the scars and everything. And he still is so fascinated with, he wants to see what these two rivals do to each other. That's all he cares about, is to see what his little science experiment, what happens with it.
Yeah. Yet another layer. We got this guy and he's, you know, like we referenced in the last issue, this glass cell, I guess we'd call it, with the toilet hooked up to the septic tank. I mean, the guy's got a loosened tie on. I mean, who knows how long he's been there, and he's allowed himself to be tortured by the Joker. You mentioned the part about the secret word thing, which if I try to pronounce it, it's Arco Tenebros. Maybe there's some meaning to that. But if you look at the next page, that the word balloons that they use for Zur are this, you know, blue purple background with light white letters. It's like Joker got him to turn into Zur for a second there. It looks like, right?
Yeah, just for him to save
Cappy or whatever, or to make sure he was safe. Now, what I don't think they go into, they kind of just gloss over it. Like, what happens between this confrontation with Batman back in the, you know, talking to Captio in this, you know, cell to like, did you leave him there?
Well, no, I think he breaks him out.
Okay.
Because this is after he breaks Joker's back. So he goes, breaks him out.
Okay.
Capio out.
Oh, and then he breaks his back.
That's where they must have some kind of conversation between panels. That, you know, we can use this fail-safe robot. You can be a better Batman. You can, you know, keep Gotham safe by getting rid of this body and going into another. And I'm just assuming this is happening. It doesn't say it is.
Well, yeah, that's the funny part about the Joker finding the fail-safe robot. That I don't, unless you could correct me if I'm wrong, I don't see a link to why Joker would naturally go, I found the robot, I hope at some point in the future the Zero non-personality goes into this robot. Like, what's the connection?
Right, yeah, I don't think that was his idea.
But what's the big deal about him finding the robot then? And I don't get it. Like, why is he so impressed? He's seen robots before.
To bring it out,
I guess.
Because he knew this was Zur that created this. Another thing with this, Bruce isn't prepared for failsafe. You know, from that first arc, he is taken off guard. They kick his ass in there throughout that arc. He's unprepared. The Justice League, who help him, is unprepared. And
they get their butt kicked too.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that was one of the reasons that, you know, trying to get this Zur personality out. Now, the Zur concept in general is not a new concept, because it originally brought out in Grant Morrison's run, but it's like everything is about this all of a sudden. I know it's this arc, but I don't know how. Do you think this is something that's gonna stick?
No.
I mean, now that he's out of his body, I certainly don't think I think the Joker's going to be disappointed.
Well, without being too spoilery, we know that their failsafe is important in upcoming DC Comics. So we, at least for a short period of time, it's going to stay.
Yeah.
It's going to be mm-hmm. part of the. But as, yeah, I think your question is larger. Like in 5 years, is it still going to be a conversation that the Joker all along was trying to bring out Xur? And so my gut says no. But nevertheless, this it's still a leap of faith on how this psychopath Captio that's willing to be in the Joker cell for maybe years, months, whatever it was, somehow just becomes the warden of Blackgate. We mentioned it last issue, but I mean, you got any defense of that?
Well, he partitioned, you know, Batman's mind. He kind of molded this personality to me. So he's like in control here.
Oh, yeah.
It seems like. So he can almost talk him into the Xur personality, into whatever he wants.
Well, yeah. Well, I'm just talking about the basic fact that he's suddenly the warden.
Yeah.
But yeah, and he's still, we got to give this guy credit. He's consistent through all the flashbacks and everything about trying to, you know, identifying the Joker and the Batman as the two most dangerous men on Earth and all this other stuff. We flash forward to now, you know, Bruce has been captured and he's tied to a chair and Captio's still going on about it. Like, I'm going to help you bring your better self out in the world. He's still going. Like, he's on a mission for, I guess, something, a confrontation where the Xur Batman fights Joker in some epic battle. That's what he wants, right? That's his end game?
Yes, that's what it seems like. And
yeah, so.
And he gives him his cow back, and he's like, I don't want to cause you any more trauma. But from this point, and I know we jump in the story, it jumps to Xur and Damian taking out Killer Croc and some others. And yeah, as I said in the intro, Stephanie Brown says, don't you see it?
Yeah. And it's also kind of, I mean, I hadn't thought of it until now, but his personality is kind of OMAC-ish from the, you know, the Infinite Crisis era. It's very binary in its approach, you know, and he's, you know, not seeing any grays. It's like, criminal or not criminal? Criminal, you're mm-hmm. going down, you know. And then, you know, like the whole Harley thing. That's a good example, right? He's like, you know, breaks in there, you know, shoots her hyenas. I guess with either kills them. Maybe they look kind of
looks like they're dead.
Yeah, it looks like they're dead with the arrows in them or something. And and she's protesting basically, like, oh, wait a minute, we talked about this. You kind of forgave me for my past sins with the Joker and all that mania. You know, I'm practically a Justice Leaguer. And then he's basically like, nope. Yeah, you're a bad guy, and we're taking you down. And so he doesn't see any grays. Xur.
No.
Yeah.
There's no gray areas.
Yeah.
But the one thing that we had talked about previously is why Dick and Barbara seem to be like, oh, this is Batman. He was struggling with his backup personality as they're talking to the Justice League. This is Batman in this fail-safe body. And Barbara's like, yeah, there's a very high chance that it is Bruce. And then Flash is like, oh, it's just more of Batman, right? He has a code, no killing, no guns, and Wonder Woman seems to be on it. Superman looks skeptical.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's funny. I like this page. And you know, I love lots of characters and stuff appearing, and Barbara looks great the way she's drawn. You know, got her glasses kind of, you know, chewing on their glasses. Looks like she's in thought. But I was a little surprised she said that there's a very high chance. I don't know. That's kind of that didn't sit well with me, because she's the smartest one in the Bat family, right? And so why would, you know, somebody so analytical and stuff say there's a very high chance? Like, well, based on what, Barbara? Like, you know what I'm saying?
She just kind of putting it out there to see what the feedback on that is.
Yeah. But yeah, I was twisted up in the first issue. I'm just going to, you know, suspend my disbelief or whatever that these two would have been Dick and Barbara would have been the first to say that's not Batman, not Stephanie Brown, but I'm going with it now. It's fine. It's going to be important. I think I told you when we chatted a little bit offline that I would love to see a Nightwing Zur conversation.
And you would have to think that would be happening pretty soon.
I hope so, because I think it's safe to say that Nightwing probably has the strongest relationship in the DCU with Batman than anyone, don't you think?
Yeah, I would say.
Yeah, and so Superman, when they're on the monitors with the Justice League talking to Nightwing and Barbara, he's not saying anything. He's the only one.
He's not.
And he's just taking it all in. And he's probably having flashbacks of when the failsafe robot almost killed him back at like issue 128.
Yes.
He stabbed him with a kryptonite sword and all that. And so we'll get to that in a second, but yeah, you asked me beforehand if I had a lot of experience with Punchline. I've only seen a bunch of different YouTube videos and stuff about her. I got the gist pretty quick that she's kind of like Harley part two in a weird way.
Yeah, sort of.
Somebody's obsessed with the Joker, right?
Right. Before we get to her, though, there's this one scene where, you know, Batman comes back to his cell and the Joker's trying to tell a joke and he's thinking to himself, well, Zur kept his actions for me within his own brain. Now that he's gone, he says, I basically experienced the same things he did. I should be able to pull those memories up. And he sits with his leg crossed like meditation or something. And then he kind of pulls these memories out of his head of Zur making these bat robots.
Right.
And then it just comes to like, I created these robots. I can defeat them. I know everything he's done. And then all of a sudden we get this Batman that's before he seemed completely defeated.
Right.
And now he's got like a new purpose here. And we do see, you know, Punchline get dropped off. And I can't say she's been one of my favorite characters. I mean, she showed up a few times, but it's like, okay.
But I think you're right to point out that in this page that shows him breaking out of his cell and starts to roam around Blackgate, he's got this spring in his step, like he has a purpose. Before it just sort of seemed like Bruce was off and not had his full, you know, Batman self. And so I think the artwork is really showing that he's like, okay, I'm gonna take care of this situation.
Yes. Punchline and the Joker meet up there because Batman breaks out the cell and he's fighting the robots. And she's like, I'm going to get you out of here. And he said, we should have some fun.
Yeah.
And basically, Punchline unlocks the cells on this lower level. And it said, it's all the non-powered criminals in these basement cells. And you see Vandal Savage. And you have Batman with basically no shirt, with his cowl on, with his, you know, glove, and he says, like, I have it, 76-1. And he says, I'm good with that.
Exactly.
And that's when the robots show up, and it's like a big, huge frenzy.
Yeah, it's a big, huge frenzy. And he gets out. It's the Savage aspect of this is probably more foreshadowing, because he's just there. He's roaming around the halls a bit. So it's clear that Chip, he's still going to use him. It's for some other purpose, like planning ahead in future arcs, don't you think? Mm-hmm. Because he doesn't really fit that well into this story at all. It's like we talked about, like, why did they add that layer? But it's obvious to me, like, okay, we're looking beyond in future issues that Vandal's going to be pretty important to Gotham and whatnot, right?
Well, I think, you know, that's going to be Batman's next problem.
Right. Yeah, exactly. That's the point.
Yeah. That's a future problem.
Yeah. But, you know, and we covered this in your summary at the beginning, but, you know, what you didn't cover is, you know, Damian kind of coming on to an Amazo type robot, right?
Yes.
And he's kind of drawn in a way that he's now frowning almost in every frame. Like, I can feel like his initial zeal for the concept of Batman taking care of business. Don't you think that he's looking like, I'm getting kind of skeptical here.
Yeah, he's like, on part of him is like, oh, this is the Batman I always wanted him to be.
Right.
This is what I wanted. But then these things keep happening. And it's like, okay, everybody else is questioning if this is Batman or not. And I keep seeing these things that are like, why would he do that? And then he sees the Mesa robot.
Yeah, exactly. And so we're going to deal with a moment. I think it could be really cool if it's done right, where Damian basically flips on Zur, and he may do it right in front of him, which might be really, it could be really cool, but I'm probably getting ahead of myself. I like to see how these, where these things are going in my head, you know, but
yeah, absolutely.
And then there's some other stuff going on with the mayor and stuff. It's not that, I don't know if you had anything.
The mayor's going to go, yeah, he's going to go bye-bye pretty soon because he's having a conniption that, you know, Zur is taking over the inmates and Blackgate, and, you know, is even, you know, give them trial dates and that sort of thing. And then they mentioned a man named Savage has sought public asylum, and he's like, no, that's who they, it's happening. So that him being the commissioner is going to happen.
And then we kind of end with the Superman stuff, really, right? Pretty much.
Yeah.
Which is, I love those kinds of conversations. I always, the Batman, Bruce, the Superman, Batman interpersonal chats. They hold a place in my heart. Going back to like John Byrne's Man of Steel, or there's that scene where they first meet, if you remember that or not, I always loved that sort of banter between the two of them. And I love that here too, even though we know this is the Zur personality. Do you think Superman is, where do you think he's at in terms of, is this or is this not Bruce Wayne when this issue ends?
I don't think he's buying it.
Yeah.
He asks a lot of questions, and, you know, the way he looks, you know, he mentions about Vandal Savage, and you see Superman just looking down,
yeah,
with this stern face. I don't think he personally buys it, because at the one point he says, but what is this? At what cost? If you go too far. And he's like, you'll try to stop me. You'll try and you'll fail.
And the next line?
Because Batman always wins.
That's the last word bubble, last mm-hmm. panel. You've got, and then you see, I guess, Bruce Wayne in the pickup truck.
Yep.
It says, you're leaving Gotham. I think that very last line is, if Superman's 50-50 on this, that pushes him over on that this is not Bruce's side, in my opinion.
Oh, definitely.
Because I don't think Bruce he knows would have ever heard him say something like Batman always wins.
Mm-hmm.
Do you agree?
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Never.
Yeah. So, and that's it. Again, though, I mean, it's a visually great book. Don't you agree? I mean, it just got so.
Yes, it's fantastic.
It's really cool. And it leaves you wanting for more. I mean, we all know that this is going to be resolved at some point. The question is how.
Yes. And it's pretty interesting to see what, you know, Bruce is going to do from this point. Is he going to just be on his own, or somehow I would think you would, even though Superman got his butt kicked, I think you'd want to get somebody on your side. I know Bruce has a plan of some sort.
Sure. He always does. What do you think? Where do you think he's going to regroup? I want to hear your predictions. Like, where?
Yeah, he has to have some kind of cave or somewhere else.
Go ahead. Sorry.
He can't just not have anything. He has to come to wherever he regroups. It needs to be, because he says he doesn't want to, Failsafe is ready for his friends and everything, and he's been and he was ready for them the last time, and so he's going to regroup somewhere. Where that is, I'm not totally sure.
Well, you know, my desire for a group, I really like when they work together, especially, you know, Batman and Nightwing and Barbara and stuff. Like, the simplest thing, which probably means it won't happen, is that he's driving to Bloodhaven to basically go, if you had any doubt, Dick, I'm here, and then really rally around them. For some reason, I don't think that's what's going to happen, but we'll see, obviously.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, that'd be too simple. Go to Dick and Barbara and regroup. But we'll see.
Yeah, it should be interesting.
Cool.
So, yeah.
I liked it.
Yeah. It was just that one particular page at the beginning that was like...
Well, yeah.
If they took that out of there, that would make it...
I think...
Did you notice... Oh, go ahead.
Well, agreed. To literally show the Joker in the tourist shirt, you know, clearly the scene from the shooting of Barbara and killing Joke. I mean, that tells you everything. All you have to do is show him with that, with the camera, mm-hmm. with the camera around his neck and all that. You know what they're saying. It's Chip Zdarsky obviously was going this direction for, maybe 24 issues. Who knows how long he's had this idea. But those two frames, you know, leave no doubt about what he's trying to convey to the readers. Right. So I know it didn't sit well, but at the same time, in some ways it's no surprise really, because this whole Captio thing and these flashbacks showing what they show about how, you know, he's trying to create the inner Batman that goes all out. He's been laying this groundwork for issues and issues and issues, you know?
Yeah. It's been a while, and things are starting to pay off that we saw, you know, in his beginning arc.
Yeah.
The one thing I noticed in here, you know, on the cover, it says also featuring Joker, the Revelations. So the backup wasn't in the back of the book. It was in the front of the book, but it flowed like it was one big issue. It didn't feel like that particular story was separate. It kind of blended right into, you know, the main story. Did you get that?
Yeah. Well, yeah. The now that you pointed out, yeah, I noticed that the flashback was a different artist than the main, right? Isn't it? Instead of being in the back, it's in the front. But they didn't come right out and do a splash title page.
No, they didn't.
For like front and back.
Right.
It's interesting. I almost wonder if because the others, it breaks convention from the previous issues, right? Where this art as well as the flashback was in the backup. I wonder if that was the original intent, but the editor said, you know what? That would be so out of order that we got to push it up front.
And on the title page, it does list backup story art by Michelle Bandini and Alex Sinclair and that sort of thing. So they threw it in there. So it was kind of merged together. It just felt like one big issue.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. Cool.
Okay.
That was fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I mean, I'm not sure what date this is going to be released, but it is.
This is going to be released next Sunday.
Okay. Well, when we record, as we're recording this, this is Free Comic Book Day.
Yep.
So may the 4th be with you. It might be too late for people by the time this airs, but and it's happened to me in the past that one of the free comic books is probably going to be super essential for not only the DC universe writ large, but fail safe. So run out and get, do you know the name of that free one? Is it like absolute power zero or something like that? Or
yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
It's absolute power.
Yeah. It's an important, it seems like what, based on what we know that this free comic book is important and it's related to our story.
Yeah, absolutely.
Have you gotten it yet?
I've gotten it. I haven't read it yet.
Oh man, I gotta go to my comic book shop. In fact, I gotta call them to have them put it in my slot because I'm afraid a bunch of 12-year-olds are gonna go in there and raid the place. You know,
that's we were there this morning.
Oh yeah,
before it opened, 10 minutes before, and there were like 30 people in line.
Oh boy. I'm gonna have to call them. Hold it for me. Because it actually happened to me on Future's End during New 52, and I couldn't get Zero. And then later I realized, God, there's something in Zero that I have to, that they keep referencing. And it's like, I don't know how you feel about it, but it's a little on the, is it really fair? Like that, you know, this run that you're not going to be able to find anywhere, like the free book, if they're gone, they're gone. Right. Sometimes. Right.
Well, my understanding is that it'll eventually be on
Ultra.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because you can get it on Comixology, you know, the Amazon Comixology. You can get it right now and it won't cost you a penny.
Okay.
You can purchase it. It says for $0 and 0 cents, so.
Well, if you just give me a minute here, I'm not insane. I got to find Future's End because on Ultra, it starts with one and there is a zero. So I hope you're right. I hope you're right about today. But in the past, I don't think, I could be wrong, but I don't think they have Supergirl Zero from...
There it is. Yeah, see? Yeah, there's the first page.
Oh, right on. Okay, cool.
That's not on Ultra. That's on through Comixology.
Okay. Well, that's a good backup in case I can't get there in time for the kids to steal them all. But anyway.
Yeah, we'll be back here in a couple of weeks, and we're going to be talking... The Batman First Night number 2 should be out here in like a week or two. So we'll be back and talk about that one.
Right on.
So until next time, same bat time, same bat channel. We will see you later.
Till next time. Thanks.